Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Tonight there's just a great, amazing preacher. I reckon she's the best looking preacher in the whole church. She's awesome. Every time I see her, I still like get a little chill, like a little hair stand on the back of my neck a little bit. Because she's just so good looking. And also I ask myself, is there something I haven't done yet? Because I just, no, I'm joking. Would you please give a big hand to Chrissy as she comes and brings the word.
That's very nice. Thank you. Grab a seat. How good is it to be in God's house? I heard you guys singing. There was faith in the room. Who's feeling faith filled tonight? So good. We had a really good time in the 9 a.m. service here this morning, in the 11 a.m. service here, and I just feel like we're going to have the best time here at the 6 p.m. service. Who's got a hungry heart, expectant to hear from God? Also, happy St. Patrick's Day. The top of the evening to you. I was going to say morning, but anyway, I had a good joke with Pastor Roland this morning. I feel like we need to be embracing Irish culture more and more, right? You know, like we're going to the continent of Europe, country, Ireland. It's in our blood now, Nations Church. Isn't that right? So good. I had a bit of a wrestle preparing this word, because I actually felt like what I'm about to preach has kind of already been preached in roundabout sort of ways across the last couple of weeks. And I'm like dialoguing with God. Oh, God, I feel like this has already been preached. Like, you know, why? I don't want to bore your people, Lord. You know, come on, Lord. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, I want you to add another layer. I just want you to add another layer. And the immediate thought I had in my head was of going to a beautician and getting a manicure. Because when you get a manicure, who knows, guys, girls, who knows, that they add a lot of layers. You know, and in the first instance, when you go have this manicure, they will put the first layer on, that's the base coat. But if you just left the beautician after having the base coat, there's not a lot of point. You know, it's got no color, it's got no, you know, strength about it. There's just, if all you do is the base coat, there's not much point. This is about the point I lost the men in the room this morning. Men, stay with me. You just imagine I'm talking about painting a door. It's the same thing, you know, same but different. You sand the thing down, you know, you prime it, you prep it, and then you paint it. Same. It's true. Okay, so then the second layer goes on, right? And that is the first layer of color. And now you're starting to see something. Now you're starting to get a bit of an impression of what that finished product might look like, but we're not done. Because color layer number two and sometimes color layer number three, they go on. And then finally you put a top coat on. And the whole point of that is that the end result is going to be fully developed and the color is going to be rich and it's going to be strong. And ultimately the whole thing is going to last. And this is a lot like Revelation. It's a lot like Revelation. If you just apply a single layer of Revelation and walk away, you just have a tiny moment in God's word and walk away and that's it, done and dusted, checked my box on the Bible reading plan for the day but can't even remember what I read. You know, that there's not a whole lot of point in that sort of business and activity, amen? You know, but if you, in the presence of God, sit with the word, meditate on the word, allow the Holy Spirit to add layer after layer, coat after coat, what you're going to get is a revelation that's fully developed. It is rich, it is strong, and it will last so that you don't just know revelation, but you apply and assimilate revelation, and that is what we want, yeah? So you're ready for another layer? So good. I've entitled tonight's message, There Is More. It's not a summary of Brian Houston's book, because I've never read it, though I'm sure it's excellent, but I did wrestle with whether or not to call it There Is More, because that's obviously very famous, but I just labelled this according to what I felt God had really laid on my heart, that there is more. You know, Ken shared with us on Vision Sunday, didn't he, as he announced the mandate of our church. The mandate that the lost would be found, that disciples would be made, and that nations would be reached. Isn't that an awesome mandate? Give me a wave if that's something I can sell my life out to for the rest of my days. And he declared that it is a new era. Like 15 years of history has gone, and we thank God for it. But we're looking forward to 15 more. It's like a new era. There's this sense that what we're about to see, we haven't actually seen before. And Ken anchored our thoughts around that great scripture, which we've been hearing so much of lately, out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work to do within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Incredible. Ever since our Vision Sunday, I feel like every preacher that has taken this stage has in some way or another preached on similar themes, themes that I think can best be summarized as this: our response to the vision. Our response to the vision, like the vision has been announced and it's been made plain, but what is our response? What's up to us? See, Matt Hennigan, he preached on this stage, if you were here, that in order to step into the mooring, God, you got to get out of the boat. You got to get out of a place of what is comfortable to experience the mooring, God. Pastor Ken Fletcher, he spoke an incredible word to us about obedience. It's those who obey God. They actually say yes to God and experience the more in God. Pastor Rick, he spoke about laying down all excuses. If you want to step into more, you got to lay those excuses. And last Sunday night, Richard Johnstone, he preached about it's not just good enough to know you have an inheritance in God. You actually have to walk in that inheritance in God. And I think you can summarize all these messages as our response to the vision. Our response. So for every vision shared, there is actually a personal participation required. For every vision that is shared, there's a point of personal application. The vision is not just something that kind of exists out there, kind of on the foyer wall that you glance at from time to time, you admire from afar or what have you, but the vision is something that needs to be personally embraced and personally participated, and we should all participate in what God is declaring and what he is announcing. And we see this principle made plain to us in the book of Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 2. And Habakkuk, the prophet of the Old Testament, he prophesies over Israel at a time when the nation was actually rebellious. The nation was living outside of God's will and outside of God's ways. And actually, Israel at the time was a nation on the verge of destruction. And the prophet is like crying out to God. He's seeking God. And the Lord gives him a vision of a future Israel. He gives Habakkuk a vision of a time to come when God will actually deliver and bring justice to Israel. And God says this in verse 2 of chapter 2. God's speaking to Habakkuk. And he says this. He says, "Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets." That's like old school paper. In other words, he's saying, God's saying to Habakkuk, write it down. I'm going to show you something. You need to write it down. And the reason you need to write it down is this, that he may run who reads it. That he may run who reads it. You note that God didn't say, write it down for your personal reference. write it down so you personally can revisit it later. He actually said, write it down and make it plain, because there's going to be some people that come along and read it. There's going to be some people that hear it. And when that happens, they're going to run with it. When that happens, it's going to inspire something in them, and they personally will participate in the vision, and they themselves will become echoes and heralds of a time when God will deliver Israel. Faith will rise in that generation. And that principle was true back then, and it's still true now. Because right here in this context, the vision has been written down. The vision has been made plain, but we are the audience. We're the readers. We're the hearers. We're the ones that need to personally participate. We're the ones that need to run with what has been announced and declared. When we say lost, found, disciples made, nations reached, it's not just that we would see more salvation, transformation, and activation as a church, like as an entity. It's that you personally would see more salvation, transformation, and activation in your life. It's not just that we would enter together into a new era, you know, like as a collective, but we are the church. We are, and so we all go in together. Everybody participates in this new era together. There's not just infinitely more for Nations Church, the entity, somewhere out there. There is infinitely more for you. Whoever you are, under the sound of my voice, wherever you're at, there is infinitely more for you. God has something in mind for you to possess. God has territory for you to take. There is a something more in God for you. What that looks like is going to be different for every one of us, you know. For some of us, it's going to be like more wholeness, more freedom from addiction, more peace in relationships, more reconciliation in those places, more wisdom, and that is great. That is your inheritance. For others of us, it might be more commitment, more profile, more platform, more influence, more impact, more fruitfulness. I don't know. More is going to look different for every single one. All I know is there is more. The reason I can say that with such confidence is because the Spirit of life in Christ in us is alive and active. He is vital and He is dynamic. Of course there's more for you, because God is for you, and God's very nature is more. The Scripture says He does not sleep or slumber. He is always at work. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. But did anyone note Jesus kept pretty busy? Because God always had something to do. There's always more. Infinitely more is not hype. It's Bible. It's Bible. The Bible speaks to us continually of journey language. Language that denotes our life with God as a journey. I'll give you some examples. Like Proverbs chapter 3 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. You know, it's like this direction in life is spoken of like a path. It's journey language. There's Psalm 23 that says, He leads us in paths of righteousness. You know, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, these sorts of things. The valley of the shadow of death is not a geographical location. You can't dial it up on Apple Maps, you know. You can't. Why would you want to? Hey, Siri, take me to the valley of the shadow of death. You wouldn't want to do that, I don't think. But it's not literal. It's journey language. Hebrews chapter 12 says, you know, let us run with perseverance this race marked out before us. There's all these terms that speak to us about our life with God as a path we need to walk down, or a race we need to run. And this is what I know about any walk or any journey or any race, is that until you've reached your destination, or until you can say, I've made it, or until you know that you have crossed the finish line, then there is always a next step. There's always another step. While there's breath in your lungs, God has got more for you. While there's still life in you, there's another step for you. God's not interested in unfinished business. One of the names of Jesus is that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He starts it and he brings that thing round to the end. Philippians 1:6 says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Everybody say complete it. He will complete it. This is for someone tonight. God wants to finish what he has begun in you. God wants to finish. He wants to lead you into the more. I don't know what your next step is. I just know there is one. Here's the thing, though. So often, what I've noticed is that between the people of God and the more that God wants to take them into, so often there's obstacles. So often there's barriers between us and actually possessing what Christ has purposed for us to possess. And I tell you a story about when I was about 20 and I was at uni at the time. Why are you smiling, Crystal Miller? I got no idea. You'll find out. I was about 20 and I'd been working at McDonald's to, you know, extra cash while I was at uni. And I was a bit over coming home all the time smelling like cheeseburgers. Do I have any Macca's workers here? Yeah, God bless McDonald's. You know, but I was actually looking for a new job. I wanted a new job and I had scored myself an interview with hopefully a much less smelly job at a jewelry store. I was pretty stoked about this and I had my interview. And so it was a weekday morning and I was home alone and the interview was late in the morning, so I was just at home, going about my business, getting ready for my interview. Now, in order to understand this story, you've got to understand the layout of my house. So, probably like many suburban houses, had a long corridor. And at one end of the corridor, there's a toilet, a bathroom, and a laundry. At the other end of the corridor was my bedroom, a spare bedroom, and the exit to the other parts of the house. You tracking with me? Can you visualize that? Okay, I'm in the bathroom, getting ready for this job interview. I'd had a shower. I don't want this to get weird between us, you know. I don't want this to be an awkward moment, but I was wearing what you'd normally wear when you have a shower. Okay? Have you got that? You know, that's just the plain truth of it. And because I'm home alone, I've just decided to do the dash in my towel up the corridor. Don't judge me. Up the corridor to my bedroom to get dressed, right? Okay, that's the truth. But on this particular morning, I did not complete my journey because I was confronted by a very unwelcome visitor. So there I am. I'm in my towel and there in the corridor, a snake. Yes, a snake. A snake. A juvenile dugite, I believe, about 40 centimeters long. But I knew. I grew up in the bush. I knew those things were still venomous. This is a frightening scene no matter what you're wearing. Yes, say no more. Anyway, I immediately retreated back down the corridor. I'm petrified, I'm strung out, I've got my interview coming, my adrenaline's pumping, I'm fossicking around in the laundry trying to find an implement that I can use against the snake. What can I use against the snake? And in my then wisdom, I grabbed a bucket. Probably not the smartest idea at the time, but I think I thought I can trap the bucket, like the snake under the bucket, and I threw it with such force that I cut the snake in half. I did. Not a word of a lie. And the tail of the snake, I trapped the tail. It's like wrong end, fail. I trapped the tail. And I watched this snake head, like slither crazily up the corridor into my bedroom. No, seriously, I now fully understand the phrase "mad as a cut snake." That is a thing. That's a thing. But at least now I have access to the other parts of my house, right? So I go into the kitchen, I get a chair and a really big knife, and I come and I put the chair on the floor of my bedroom, and I start flicking items of clothing off of my bedroom floor with this tip of the big knife. I eventually found the snake. It was under my bed, and I chopped it up into little pieces. Yeah, I did. Yes. Yes. I'm not a wildlife warrior. Anyway. Can I get, like, arrested by, like, the RSPCA? Delete it off the podcast. No, don't worry. Leave it on the podcast. I'll deal with the consequences. Anyway. Why did she tell us that story? The reason I told you that story, the point, was that there was more in store for me that day than hiding out in a laundry. I had something to possess. I had territory to take. The territory of my new job was waiting for me. There was more in store than just being stopped up and stuck and frightened in a corridor. And yet there was this enemy. There was this snake that stood in between me and the place of my possession. And I don't want to over-spiritualize the poor little Jew guy that lost his life that day. But it is interesting imagery, isn't it? To think about a snake that lies between you and your place of possession. Because in my observation, there's always an enemy that lie between the people of God and their place of possession. There's always some sort of barrier that lies between the people of God and them taking the ground that God has called them to take. And with that, there is a bunch of Christians that are holed up in the metaphorical laundries of life. You know, they might be saved, but they're not actually stepping into more. They might know they're going to heaven, but they're not actually taking the territory on earth that God has called them to take. You know, the scripture says that the nature of our enemy is to steal and kill and destroy. And I can promise you, he would love nothing more than to steal every dream and kill every sense of purpose and destiny that you have in you and destroy your faith and your hope. He'll do anything to keep you stopped in your tracks, to stop you from progressing in your journey with God. Sometimes the obstacles are external. Sometimes it feels like it's circumstances that are stopping you. That's not so much what I'm speaking to you about tonight, because I've seen more frequently that it's the internal obstacles that are sometimes harder to defeat. It's those internal things, not so much the external. I'm talking about things like the obstacle of fear. Like, I know that God's calling me to more. I know that there's another step, but I'm too petrified to take it. I am too terrified of the cost. I'm too terrified of potential failure. I'm too terrified of the unknown. What about the obstacle of distraction? You know, I don't even realize that there's a next step in God. There's more in God because I'm too busy doing it my own way. I'm too busy on my own path, creating my own journey. The obstacle of unbelief, of disbelief. You know, someone comes along and says, there is more. You're like, doubt it. You know, there is more for you. Believe it when I see it. You know, that sort of thing. You know, the obstacle, these are real obstacles in people's lives. The obstacle of cynicism. I like, yeah, Ephesians 3:20, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, got it written on my back, tattooed on my arm, whatever. You know, like, it's that cynicism that can kick in, you know. The pastor's just getting a bit carried away tonight. That sort of thing. The obstacle of disappointment. That's a legitimate obstacle where people go, well, I tried before. And it didn't work. So tell me about that. I tried to take another step, and you don't know, I fell. It went pear-shaped. I actually went backwards, and I'm a bit too far gone. I'm a bit too past it. Obstacle of self-doubt. I'm not capable of entering into the more that God has for me. I will be shown up for what I really am. People will see me for what I really am. I'm not who you think I am. You know, these obstacles don't dwell outside of us. They dwell on the inside of us. They're showing up as thoughts in our head and attitudes in our heart and strongholds in our mind. And they might be different in every single one of us. In fact, they will be different, but they all have the same end. They all have the same end, and that is to keep you stopped, to keep you stuck, to keep you not progressing, not possessing, not stepping into the more in God. Guess what? It's time to take the obstacles down. It's time to rip those things down. For as long as we engage with fear, you know, for as long as we're, you know, shaking hands with doubt and disappointment and self-doubt and all of those things, for as long as we engage with them in our head and our heart, they're going to stand up as obstacles between us and our place of possession. For as long as we bring our agreement to them, it's actually a misdirected agreement. It's an agreement, but it's in the wrong direction, because these things, at the end of the day, they're strongholds and they exalt themselves. In fact, they roar and they have their high-sounding arguments, but they're not to be listened to. The scripture says they're to be taken captive and made obedient, made subject to the voice of Christ. I want to say to you that internal obstacles need an internal solution. You know, there's no external fix, really. It can help, external things to help can help, but really to go after the internal obstacles, you need internal solutions. And the first thing we need to do is get our mind aligned. Because as our mind aligns, we find that our life also begins to align. When our mind starts to receive the more in God, we find that our life and our actions, our prospects start to align with the more of God. Also, I can show you this out of scripture from Romans chapter 2 and verse 12 when it says this. It says, "Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed by how? By the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Then you will be able to understand His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Your right mindset is what has to come first. It's very hard to know the will of God without first putting on the mind of God. It's very hard to discern God's activity, to perceive His purposes when you're not actively dwelling in His heart and in His word and knowing what He says. If you live with an unrenewed mind and start bringing your agreement to every fear and every doubt and every unbelief, I can tell you now, you will not be able to test and approve the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. But when you renew your mind to His heart, when you renew your mind to His word, then you can perceive His purpose. Then you can see the more. Then you can know the more. Then you can step into the more. We see a firsthand account of the perils of a wrong mindset. The perils of a misdirected mindset when we read in the book of Numbers chapter 13 and 14. It's a very well-known kind of account in scripture where an entire nation is about to possess the promises of God. An entire nation is standing right on the cusp of stepping into more. And we know the story where Moses, he sends 12 spies, 12 Israelite spies, into the promised territory, basically to check it out. You go in and bring a report back to us about what it's like. And they did that. And they went in there. And what they saw was good. It was really good. It was as God had promised, except there was obstacles there. There was giants there. And they came back to the Israelite camp to bring a report about what they'd seen. And on account of these obstacles, 10 out of the 12 spies just completely dropped their bundle. They completely just lost all faith. They completely fell apart. And they say this in verse 33, I think, of chapter 13. It says this. It says, this is their report. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. They were giants. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. This was their mindset. They were partnering with fear. They were shaking hands in agreement with doubt and unbelief. They're shaking hands with self-doubt. We looked like grasshoppers in our own eyes. They will devour us. They're stroking their stronghold and giving airtime to all of these things. And here's the big problem, because whilst their report may have been in some sense factual, it was not at all faith-filled. It was totally opposed to what God had spoken. Because God had said, Israel, you are my chosen people. Israel, you are my beloved people. You are my possession. And I'm giving you that territory as your possession. That is your inheritance. I have decided. I'm giving it to you. But these 10 would not agree. They would not bring their agreement to God. And it had a tragic end, because this wrong alignment in their mind meant that they never possessed. These guys died in the wilderness. They never stepped into the very thing that God had given them to possess. They never stepped into the more. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that sort of person. That misdirected agreement will keep us stuck. But the good news is, when we direct our agreement in the right direction, it will propel us into more. It will take us into more. Our agreement needs to rest on one thing and one thing alone, and that is every word and every promise of God that flows from His mouth to our heart. Those obstacles will always exalt themselves with their loud roar and their big arguments. But the scripture says we're equipped in Christ to pull them down. That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to destroy every single stronghold and defeat every enemy. We got to put on the full armor of God. We got to lift up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Put on the shield of faith. We got to get the promises of God in our mouth. And by His grace, we'll see the obstacles inside of us fall. They will tumble in Jesus' name. The band can join me as we draw to a close right now. We've been singing that great new song. Who loves it? The Yes and Amen song. Let's have a look at the scripture where that song has been initiated from. It's from 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. And it says this. I love this scripture so much. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Oh, amen. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us. The amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. I want you to check out where the full stop is in this scripture. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, full stop. That is a complete thought. That is a package deal. Jesus said it is finished. And He sealed off in His blood. You know, every single promise that God has made has been ratified by the blood of Jesus. It's been purchased through His death, burial, and resurrection. It's like He rubber stamped your salvation. He rubber stamped your forgiveness, your pardon. It is done. It is dusted. It is finished. There's a big fat full stop. No matter how many promises God has made, it could be millions. For you, for your family, for your present, for your future, for your legacy, for your inheritance, for your health, for your job, no matter how many, they are yes to you in Christ. Full stop. But the next sentence is different. It says, through Him, the amen is spoken by us. That's our part. That's our responsibility, and that is contingent because we don't always speak amen. We're not always declaring amen. See, God made the promises. Christ ratified the promises, but now the ball is in our court so that when every promise is declared, we respond with faith. We bring a loud amen to every single promise of God. Our word of agreement is amen. Our word of faith is amen. Our word of determination to look unto Jesus is amen. That we would bring our agreement to nothing less. That we would shake hands in partnership with nothing less than the promises of God. Than the heart of God. We need to find ourselves steeped in the Word of God, deep in the heart of God, so that we can shout amen in season and shout amen out of season. We shout amen when we feel like it, and we especially shout amen when we don't. You know, we shout amen when there's evidence all around us that God's hand is at work, and we shout amen all the more when there's none. And we believe that faith will rise in our heart. And as we align ourselves in the proper direction, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, I believe that we see every obstacle fall in His name. And us, the people of God, are no longer stuck and stopped in the laundries of life, but we're possessing the more that He has in store for us. Do I have an amen? All over this place, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.